the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of the Father, and the wonderful grace of our Savior be with yours today. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the gifts that God gives to us in Christ and receiving them with joy and thanksgiving. Do you guys receive the gifts that God gives you with joy and thanksgiving?
Yes.
You know, some of the gifts that God gives to us are very pretty. Like this gift over here. Very pretty on the outside and pretty on the inside. Some of his gifts look more like this one over here. Very scary on the outside and maybe not so easy on the inside. Can you give thanks to God for even the difficult gifts as well as the easy ones? Give him joy, and do you? Sometimes God gives us very strange gifts. So let's talk today about all the gifts that God gives to us, at least many of them, and what kinds of things he gives us in Christ that we can learn from him to receive all of his gifts to us with joy and thanksgiving in Jesus. So let's take a look, first of all, at the gifts that God gives to us. Every good thing that you have in your life, or I have in mine, has come down from God to us. And where is that in the scriptures? Let's take a look here to start out in James chapter 1. Verse 16, we read this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, everything that we have in our lives that comes to us that is good is from whom? God. He's sitting up there above the heavens on his throne, and he bestows, and they come raining down upon us so beautifully. And we're to receive these gifts with thanksgiving. We look over here at Timothy 2, for example, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, says this, as for the rich in this world, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God who furnishes us with everything to enjoy. So God certainly gives many, many good gifts to us to enjoy. So do you receive God's gifts with joy and thanksgiving? Well, some of God's gifts are pretty on the outside, and some of them are not so pretty on the outside. Do you receive all of these from him? Well, let's talk first about this one over here. Would you like to receive a gift like this from God? I mean, it's gold, it's silver, it's got a beautiful bow on it, and you open it up on the inside, and oh my goodness, I like this gift. Look, he's given me, for example here, lots of money. Namely, the good things I need in life. What did we just read there? As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be conceited, but nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God who richly furnishes us with all things to enjoy. I even put a 50 in here. I don't often have these things. Think about that. The gifts that God gives that are pretty. Can you receive this quickly with joy? It looks pretty, and it feels great, and it certainly looks like a gift from God. We ought to receive these things from God with joy. We look over here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says, God gives wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them. This is the gift of God. Isn't that beautiful? And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. So God delights to give us good things. Isn't that beautiful? He is a good, good Father. If you think about our Luther's Catechism here, the first article of the Creed, I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? Luther says, it means I believe that God's made me and all creatures, given me my body, my soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, my senses, and still takes care of them. He gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife, children, land, animals, all I have. Richly and daily furnishes me with everything I need to support this body and this life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. all this he does only out of a fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it's my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. So do you guys give thanks to God for these beautiful kinds of gifts? House, home, wife, children, husband, food, sunshine, vacations, good times. Look, God loves you. He doesn't give these things to us sparingly. He delights in the welfare of his servants. So receive those gifts from him with great joy and thanks. That's beautiful, isn't it? Let's go on to another gift. How would you like this second gift right here? God hands you this gift. It's under his Christmas tree, if you will. Here. What is it? It's an empty box. You're like, I like this one. Can I give thanks and joy for this one? Let's call this one a gift called scarcity. Times when you are poor, if you will. When you don't have a lot. Does God actually give you gifts of times where he doesn't give you a lot? Just enough to get by for that very day? Sure, we can see that in the Bible. I would look, for example, at Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is when God led his people through the wilderness. He says, I, the Lord your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. I brought you water out of the flinty rock, fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers didn't know, that I might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Think about that. Does God give you times of just giving you enough for the day to get by? Is that a gift that you can give thanks and joy to God for? Is that a good gift, or is that a blessing or is it a curse? Is it good or bad? You know, sometimes we might not like that. It hurts more than that one, right? But it's a great blessing hidden in not having more than enough. When God fed his people in the wilderness, he fed them manna each day and water each day. And what did that teach them? To rely upon the Lord for their everyday needs. You know, over the years as a pastor, and if you are blessed with riches, that's beautiful. It's the gift of God. Give thanks. But if you don't, I've seen a lot of people very poor, barely able to get by day to day. But boy, have they been rich in faith. Because they, you know, if you're rich, that's a blessing. But it's easier sometimes to rely a little on your bank account to take care of you. When you go day by day and you don't know where that next bill is going to get paid from and God does it, you have only God to rely on. And you see his wonderful works. James chapter 2, it says, as for the poor, he says, has not God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which God has promised to those who love him? You know, when the people went through the wilderness, those 40 years, and they had just enough for each day, God gave them manna, and if they gathered much or little, they only had enough for that day. No matter, it was a miracle. If they tried to get enough for 2 days, God made it foul and fester, and if they tried to keep it till the morning, it melted. You will learn, God says, to trust me for every day. When God gives you this box, if it is your gift that he's given you this Christmas or this life, rejoice, because he's teaching you a beautiful lesson. Namely, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. That's a beautiful gift hidden in this box called nothing. The nothing box, right, Vivian? It's what men have. And men have a nothing box where we can think of nothing. Do you know that Jesus Christ had poverty in this nothing box? If we turn over here to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, we read, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich up there in heaven, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. He got rid of everything, took a nothing box that came into poverty so that by his poverty you might be made rich in the salvation of God. Let's go on to another box here. You'll know when we get through the sermon when I get to that side, right? So here's another box. Here's the third gift that God gives to you. Does this one entice you? Do you want to open this one? It's not as pretty as that one, is it? It might even be a little more scary than the nothing box there. This one's a little scarier. It looks sort of like wood. I open it up, and what has God given me inside? A thorn or a nail. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you can give thanks to God if he gives you this? What is this? This is pain in your body. Something wrong in your life. Ouch, we say, when we receive this gift from God. Is that a gift? Can we see that in the Bible? I've seen it in the Bible. Yeah, let's look over here. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, and to keep me from being too elated or conceited by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Three times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, says Paul. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Has God given you the gift of a thorn or of a nail in your body or in your life or an adversity or a trouble or a sickness or something like that? Is that a good gift or a bad gift? It is a blessing or a curse. Can you receive this gift also with God, from God, with joy and thanksgiving? Do you know, just this last week or a week ago, I had a thorn right over here called a kidney stone. I was about the end of almost a 12-hour day because I did Christmas caroling, and then I went and visited someone who might not have made it through the night, actually, I was told when I went to visit. Still around, praise God. But on my way home, all of a sudden, I felt like someone shot me over here. My second kidney stone I've had, that I've experienced and felt. But on my way driving home, and all of a sudden, I had this picture of myself like I'm in World War II, like I'm a pilot. And I'm like, I've been shot, and I'm driving, and I'm trying to get home. I'm like, I just got to land the plane on the carrier. I get home, and then Beth takes me to the ER, and they're like, do you drink? No. Do you do drugs? No. But I'll take whatever you've got. You know? So, and pain. I mean, this is not, it's like a vice grips just clamped onto you. But you know what? For the first 2 days, it was a terrible pain, and I was going through all the normal stuff you shouldn't say, like, woe is me, I did this to myself, it's my diet, or maybe God's upset or angry with me or something like that. Things you shouldn't say, but you all say anyway. Third day or so, God says, Greg, you needed this. You were going too hard and too fast to the point you were so busy here that you were not taking time for me. You know, I needed to slow you down and you could spend time with me. And I was going around the pool at night, you know, wrapped in my blanket, and I could move about like this fast, you know, with the pain. The pain medication didn't touch it, but there, I learned after a little while to say, pain is my chauffeur. I was like, welcome, old friend, even though it was hurtful, because I'm like, you're chauffeuring me to Jesus, because I'm spending 3 hours under the stars at night because I can't sleep, walking around my pool, praying to the Lord, spending time with him. And there were things wrong in my soul as I thought about God too that I hadn't worked out in Scripture. You know, understanding God's goodness in certain situations. And God slowed me down and said, Greg, let's go through this. He took me Genesis to Revelation. Look at my goodness here. Look at my goodness here. Look at my goodness here. And I got to see the goodness of our God and taste of it. All because he gave me a thorn. Would you say this is something I can give thanks for? Yes. I can give thanks with joy. There's another boy, Caleb Reese, who's a friend of ours at seminary. Their child, Caleb, got a degenerative eye disease when he was 4 years old. He could see his parents like this, but he knew within a short time they would go away and he'd never see them again because all he can see now is shadows. He's legally blind. But when God gave him the thorn, he gave him added grace. This kid is the happiest kid you've ever seen in your life. He's smiling. He's only 9. He's giving speeches to boards of directors for Lutheran Braille workers. And the other day, they were driving down the highway, and then one of them saw something that said Legally Blonde, I guess the movie. And he goes, ha ha ha, I'm not only legally blonde, I'm legally blind. And they all laughed about it. Think about this line from this poem about thorns. It says, I learned that he never gives a thorn without this added grace. He takes the thorn to pin aside the veil that hides his face. If God's given you a thorn and it hurts, you can still rejoice for that because he's good. He's taking it and pinning aside a veil so you can see his grace in you. That's a beautiful thing. Can you give thanks to God for this gift? Sure. We certainly can, because let's remember, in this same box, we have a Christ who took a thorn and nails, and in it we have a perfect salvation, for he was bruised for our iniquities and crushed for them, that we might be healed through his cross, through his thorn. So let's give thanks to God for that gift. It's strange, but he loves you. Here's another gift he gives to us. You want to open this one? Are you scared? Getting scared? Because they're getting scarier this way, right? Well, we open up this one. And in here, I say he's given me a sword. Namely, battle and war. Can you give thanks to God for putting you in battle and war? What do we read in the scriptures? He says this is the life that he gives to us in Christ, namely, says, for we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers. Those are princes and powers and spiritual hosts, that's angels, of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What I'm talking about in this box is adversities, inner struggles, inner battle and war, fighting the good fight of the faith. Can you give thanks to God for that sort of thing?
Yes.
Hey, God is working good through every one of these gifts, as strange as that they may be, when he sends you into war. Remember, fight the good fight. It's a good fight. It's a good warfare. Think about David in the Bible. He would never have been the great David the champion, had there not been a Goliath. Luther, there would never have been a great Luther and a here I stand, I can do no other, without the Pope coming against him. You would never have had Thomas Cranmer in the Church of England. Remember, Bloody Mary came against him and said, you will recant all of your Protestant faith. He actually did recant, but then he felt bad and he said, I recant my recantation. And this hand, which signed that recantation, I want it to be the first into the flames when you burn me. And he went there and he won as a champion. When I had to contend against the ELCA authorities and the bishop and all those professors years ago, when I went up for interrogation before them, I used to be very nervous of so many people and authorities. When I went through that and came out of it, God taught me to be confident and courageous because his word never fails. And same thing with you guys. If you are thrown into battle by the Lord, rejoice and give thanks for this gift. Because what's he bringing out of it? I'm making you more than a conqueror. Through him who loves you. You're going to come out of this battle in the end if you follow Christ saying, I'm not afraid. I'm a victor in Jesus Christ. I know that death can't stop me. Neither death nor life nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. And all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. And you stand on the evil day, and having done all to stand. Isn't that beautiful? Give thanks to God if he gives you that kind of a gift. Because Jesus also did this. In John chapter 12, He says, now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. One-on-one, Jesus went and destroyed Satan for us. Beautiful. Shall we open the next present? All right, here we go. Uh-oh, a black one. Do you really want to open this gift? Is this really a gift from the Lord? God says, open it up. Oh, it strikes our heart. What does he put inside of it? But what is it? Yeah. Death. God, is this a gift from you that I would die? But really, let's think about it. When God gives you the gift of death, he gave you a Savior. And when you open up the card, it says, welcome home. Isn't that beautiful? Think about what our Lord has given to us in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Says, since therefore the children, that's you and me, share in flesh and blood, human bodies, mortal, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same nature. In other words, became a man like us. That through death, his own, he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Are you afraid to die? What if God this very year gives to you this gift and says, here, open it, my children. Oh, a strange gift. I'm terrified of this one, Lord. He says, no, open it up inside. I've hidden a treasure for you. It's welcome home. You enter into peace. You rest in your beds who walk in your uprightness. It's a beautiful gift. So it's a win-win, really. You know, God gives you good things, rejoice. If he gives you tough times or scarcity, rejoice. If he gives you war, or if he even gives you death, you win because of Jesus Christ. That's so beautiful. And let's get to the last one here. You probably thought I was done with the sermon, right? There's one more. You know better than that. You know better than that. Right, exactly. One more gift here. The best gifts come in tiny packages. If I go up to Beth with a little gift like this, and I go like this.
You're in trouble.
All of a sudden, she's like, oh, whew. You know, something great is coming. This tiny package. Very strange when God gives us something very small and hides his most priceless jewel inside of it. And what am I talking about here? Jesus Christ. Think about what we're celebrating at Christmas, friends. God gave us all of his best gifts in the tiniest little package, and inside it's Jesus Christ. And he wrapped it up in wrapping called swaddling cloths. He laid it in a box called a manger. And even the box of his own body wasn't good looking. The Bible says he had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He covered himself in a very ordinary, strange box. And yet we know it's by this that we are saved. Covered himself in affliction that we might find joy. Covered himself in sorrow that we might be comforted. Because by his wounds you've been healed, says the Bible. A man of sorrows was he. Afflicted, storm-tossed one. But by his stripes we are healed. And by his covering himself with death, he has brought us life. He says to you and me, because I live, you shall live also. I gave my life up for you, that you might be given eternal life as a free gift of God through me. And he hides it all in a tiny little box called the gospel. It's just a word. The world's like, it's just a word. But it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. And let me share it with you now. That God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, he's a strange God, isn't he? Very mysterious. Don't judge a book by its cover on these gifts. He hides treasures. And you notice, the worse looking it seems, the better the treasure inside of it. He is not a tame God, but he is a good God. And he means good for you in the end with all of these things. I'm getting toward a conclusion, so listen up. He hides pearls inside of oyster shells. He hides diamonds down in the dark depths of the earth under rocks. He hides gold in the bottoms of riverbeds, high up in the mountains of the wilderness, and he hides salvation in a man, Jesus Christ. And you know him. And all the promises of God find their yes in him. God is good, and he gives you all these good things. Let's therefore rejoice and give thanks for all of the gifts of God he gives to us in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.